bless you, child.
Bless you, dear.
Once more, we have this wonderful opportunity to break down the barrier between our world and yours. This barrier built up by ignorance and foolishness on the part of the peoples of Earth. Perhaps in a sense one should not blame. After all, living in the world of flesh as one does must be very difficult for people to realize and perceive of the nearness and the wonder and the power of the Holy Spirit, immersed as mankind must well be with the doings of its own environment, in the conditions which surround the average man, no matter who he may be or where he may exist in your world, is fraught with all manner and condition of problem and difficulty. It is not easy for man to raise himself mentally and spiritually above the conditions of the earth. A great deal has been said in the past by those who have returned from this side in regard to the foolishness and the ignorance that persists in your world, even among those who profess to be aware, who profess to be conscious of the power of the Spirit. There are those, unfortunately, in your world who claim to know the truth and yet in themselves are as ignorant as newborn babes. It is not for me or for perhaps any of us to come back and to cast criticism upon those in your world who perhaps in their own fashion and way are striving to do their best. But we cannot necessarily stand aside and remain silent when we realize the tremendous need for those in your world for the teachings of the Spirit. And it is a great source of disillusionment and disappointment to us when we realize the ignorance of those in high places who wield such power, could do so much good, could enlighten mankind and break down so many of the barriers that exist between peoples and nations, the religious barriers and the religious intolerance that persists in your world is no doubt to us the greatest of all barriers. Indeed, I am convinced that it is this religious intolerance and indeed this religious ignorance that prevents the truth from coming into your world. For there are many who would seek and desire, who by their very nature are desirous of truth, but who are afraid because they have been either forbidden or they have been advised that it is dangerous to contact the realm of the Spirit. And yet the very basis of their teachings, the very truth which they proclaim, stems from this very communication. Christ, who knew of this, who realized only too well the oneness of the Spirit, how it could be used for the benefit of the human race, how it could be brought into being in such a way that it could, by its very nature, save men from destruction. But all through the centuries, men have wielded their religious power and have used it invariably for their own ends, and they have stopped, whenever it has been possible, the onrush of the spirit. They have stood firm against enlightenment. They have kept themselves adrift and apart, and they have prevented what could have been a church truly filled with the Holy Spirit. They have kept it remote and indeed apart. They talk so often about the power of the Holy Spirit without understanding it, without realizing what it means and what it can truly achieve and what it can truly do. All around the earth, untold souls gather. Here and there they're able to link up and infiltrate their thoughts through individuals who are termed instruments or mediums. But in the early days of the church, they were all instruments of varying degree and kind. They were all instruments inasmuch that they served truly the Holy Spirit without fear, without favor. They stood firm and were assured that that which they did was truly by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in its early stages the church grew, and untold thousands upon thousands came into the fold. It is so disconcerting to us when we enter into a church and we enter into the thoughts of the congregation, so often so sincere, so desirous of truth, and yet repeating time after time the same creed, the same words, singing the same psalms and the same hymns. It's as if time has stood still for them, and that which they give forth invariably seems to have little power, little meaning, for it has become a ritual. It has become something which automatically issues forth, and there is little substance, little power, little truth behind it. How strange it is that one may have a great truth, and through not fully being conscious and aware of it, and what it can achieve and what it can do, through generations of time, that very truth can be so subdued that it has little power, little meaning, little value. Christ said, "Greater things than these shall ye do, for I go unto my Father." And the church and those who adhere to the teachings of the church do so little. And the church in itself has not seen the light, nor the wisdom, nor the truth underlying so much that Christ said and did. It is true that here and there there are enlightened ones who strive, but the faith is sometimes sadly lacking. Even those who term themselves spiritualists are oft-times no better. Unfortunately, their grasp of this tremendous reality is weak. But I say unto those who truly serve, and to those who truly endeavour and truly believe is given the power of the Holy Spirit, that by it and through it all things become possible. For with the Holy Spirit nothing is impossible. You live in a world in which there seem to be certain limitations. I suppose in all conditions of life there must be a limitation of a kind. And yet I say unto you, in your world today, there could be wrought such miracles that the whole world could be in consequence transformed, the peoples therein should truly dwell in the very spirit which we ourselves declaim. You, my child, have had, as I've often said, many tests of varying kind. I know that you might well, with others, if necessary, say sometimes the burden has been too great, and yet you continue, and the power of the Spirit that descends upon you enables you to further the truth, to declaim that which you know is so. Indeed, you are given the strength to do the work of the Holy Spirit. But of course, there are these setbacks, these disappointments. And because you are of the human kind, there are bound to be, at times, certain things which cause alarm, cause concern. But the physical body is but an instrument. And there are times when, as indeed recently it has caused concern, but we, with our power and our love and our effort, do all that we may, all that we can, so that you may continue to do the work of the Spirit for some time yet to come. You are indeed guided. We do not suggest, neither have we ever promised, that the material path would ever be easy. Indeed, for those who would serve truly God and do the work of the Spirit, the material path can never be easy. Whether you take as an example the life of Christ, or the disciples, or the great prophets, or the great teachers, or the saints of old, each and every one, the more they became aware and conscious of the Spirit and that which the Spirit could do, realized how much more difficult it was in a material sense, how opposite the material thoughts and desires are to the things of the Spirit. It is like treading two paths at the same time. Yet nevertheless, you are strengthened, and you are guided, and you are helped. And no matter how difficult at times the path may seem, the path of truth and righteousness and love and the Holy Spirit cannot fail. Though one may be weary on that path, and one's strength may seem to flag, and though one may rest, as it were, for the time by the wayside, nevertheless, strength is given, and the path continues, and many other weary ones by the wayside. And it is as if you are intended to be like he who stayed on the side of the path and gave help and succor to that one who was in need. For we must truly be full of compassion, full of love, We must even neglect, if necessary, our own desirings and our own anxiety to progress, to stop a while, to help someone less fortunate. For how can we progress if we go forward, knowing that in the passing and in the striving to hurry on, we have left behind some soul that we might have helped, that we might have strengthened, to give the water of life and inspiration to one who is in great need, a good Samaritan. We must all be like unto the good Samaritan that journeys forth on the road of spiritual progress, and seeing as he must do, many by the wayside stop, even for a while, to give comfort and to help. Of course, we cannot always succeed, we cannot always expect to change another. We must remember that that is perhaps the greatest of all gifts, free will to choose, to accept, to deny, to do as one may. Sometimes, perhaps it may seem, when one looks at it purely perhaps in the material rather than the spiritual, that free will in itself is not always a good thing, but it is necessary. It is indeed essential that all men should be free to choose for themselves what they shall become. It is true that we are all the product of others. There is, in a sense, no such thing as an individual. Though we are, of course, individuals in many respects, and that we like to feel that we are, and it indeed is a good thing so to be, but nevertheless, we are the product of the minds and the thoughts of innumerable peoples that have helped consciously and unconsciously to mold us into what we have become. But as we become, so we are taking on from all manner of sources and influences, varying degrees of knowledge and experience. In other words, though we retain an outer shape and form, and we call ourselves by this or that name when on earth and over here also, we are the product of innumerable thoughts, the minds of untold generations of peoples. Indeed, as the Holy Spirit is one and permeates through all things, all life, so are individuals, without possibly realizing it, the product of all manner and conditions of thoughts. In a sense, all bodies, all shapes, all forms, whatever they may take, whether it be in the human or the animal, or in the bird life, or in nature itself, permeating through it all, is the vibrant living power of the Holy Spirit. And we cannot escape one from another, for we are all part of each other. And as we progress, slow though it may be, and others seem to lag behind, we know that they shall eventually reach us, be with us, be part of us. Nothing is lost, for it all returns to the great source from whence it came. No one need fear. Fear is possibly the greatest enemy of man. To fear is a bad thing and prevents man's progress. Man must go forth into the world with his head held high and his feet firmly planted on the road of truth, with a realization that within himself is a God-given power to overcome all things and truly to become, in consequence, one in spirit and in truth. Take from man fear. Give him strength, strength of the Holy Spirit, and you will overcome all battles. You, my child, have battled and have won. Sometimes you may have thought you have lost and failed, and in a sense this may be so if you see it in a certain light. But I see not failure, but only success, for the Holy Spirit that permeates through you, the Holy Spirit that gives to you the very life which makes it possible for you to serve, gives you a strength far beyond your realization. You are truly our instrument, you are truly blessed, and together we serve and do the will of the Most High. All is well, my child.
Thank you. I want you to help me to have greater patience with people, though. When they seem to be a little foolish, I get so impatient.
Child, life in your world is made up of foolishness, the foolishness of individuals. And how are we to sometimes stop individuals doing things which in themselves we know to be foolish, and indeed oftentimes they themselves are conscious and aware of it? I can only say to you, child, that patience is so necessary. Mm-hmm. And though you may feel impatient, though you may feel at times that something may have been done or said which causes you grave concern, that by love and patience, though it may not necessarily show itself immediately, the change will come. Do not be too distressed.
No, I feel sometimes I lack compassion.
No, child, I do not think you lack compassion. I do not even think that you lack patience.
No.
But sometimes, perhaps it is that you are over anxious. Perhaps it is that you expect too much.
No, I want to be worthy of you.
Child, do not concern yourself in this sense. Know that all that comes from me and all of us here comes with the freedom of love which knows no bounds. We ask indeed for nothing, and that which we receive from you and from your world at times particularly is great. It is a love which more than pays or recompenses. We do not ask for recompense, we do not ask for things. We only ask the opportunity to serve, to give forth our message of truth and light, and to give forth love. And I know that you yourself do as you can, the best that it is possible to do under circumstances which are often trying. Of course there are moments when you fail. We do not expect you always to succeed. You are still human. You are still affected by the conditions of your life and the peoples of your immediate surroundings. But you can only do your best, child.
Yes, thank you.
Do not distress yourself.
No, I don't really, but I want to be what I teach.
That, I think, is important. To be as one teaches, to set an example. This, of course, is necessary. But I know that the example that one must set is of a high order, and it is not always possible, perhaps, to show it. Perhaps there are times when one fails. But as I've often said to you in the past, one learns possibly more through our failures than our successes.
Yes, of course.
Do not be distressed, but no. Do your utmost.
Yes,
do your best. My blessings to
bless
you, child.
Thank
peace
you.
Be unto you.
Thank you, dear.
Bye-bye, Daisy.
Bye-bye, Mickey, dear.
I don't think you get the tears much, do you?
No, not now.
Do you get sort of annoyed at people then?
Oh, I do sometimes.
Oh, well, that's natural, ain't it?
I keep it to myself, but I think a lot.
Well, bye-bye.
Cheerio, dear.